This podcast was sponsored by me, paid for by me. Listen, I'm working on right now on buying companies, Amazon companies. I love buying companies. It's fun. It's amazing. I love this thing. If you have a brand that you think we might want to buy, go to aaroncordovas.com/valuation for your free business valuation. This is also sponsored by Samurai Seller. It's our ad software, the new Amazon ads automation tool. We just released it. This thing is fantastic. And I'm telling you, I'm sponsoring you to get a free run of our software. Sign up now for a 14-day trial. And I'm telling you, I will guarantee that we will improve your advertising efficiency on Amazon in your first month. If not, you just ask us for your money back. We'll send it to you immediately. I want to save you money. Come on. Go to samuraiseller.com/start.
This is the Aaron Cordovez Show.
So we are here today with an absolutely spectacular guest, a person who is a self-made multimillionaire, impressive person with a beautiful family, great values, Rupesh Sanghavi. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much, Aaron, for having me. Really appreciate it. It is pleasure hanging out with you at SellerCon. You are such an energetic selling person, man. I'm impressed what you have done. Thank you.
Amazing, amazing. So good to have you. So Rupesh, I want to start back. Like, how did you start everything? Well, let's go back to just way back. How did you get started with your life?
Oh my! Oh, that's a great question. I immigrated from India. I grew up in India. I always say India is my mother, US is my father.
Okay.
I mean, like, in many ways, it is so true. So I did come to US to do my master's in
Canada. How long ago? Like, what year? Do you know?
99 is when I came to US to do my master's in chemical engineering.
Oh, you came here to study?
Yeah, came here to study on a F1 visa. It's such a old good days. Okay, yeah. I did engineering and graduated in 2000. Nobody wanted to hire chemical engineer with visa requirement. So I taught myself
Java. Wait, how did you finish school in 1 year?
Working hard. Like, I graduated with 4.0 average. I mean, not
wow.
to break,
wow.
but
okay,
yeah,
okay.
That was good times. Like, loved the education style here because it's a very logical and structural style. Loved my mentors. I graduated from Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the time then. But it was hard to get job.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. It actually, whatever happened, I taught myself Java programming. And people used to get Java certified at that time. And I was one of them. I taught myself Java, got Java certified.
With an online program, or how did you get certified in Java?
There was no online programming way back in 2000. It was all book.
All the books.
Yeah. Learn Java in 7 days. And literally reading Java.
okay.
And then trying out on my computer. So Compaq, if you remember
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah,
brand.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So that's how I taught myself Java. Fortunately, I got first job because of that. I became an application engineer. So we make software that chemical engineer would use to simulate the whole plant and train on the plant. And I was very fortunate to get into the right company, Fortune 500, moved to San Diego at that time.
So you couldn't get, you went to school for a couple of years, graduated at the top of your class, couldn't find the job. You did Java in 7 days, then you found a job. this is the truth. This happens.
Exactly.
It's just shocking. And myself, I knew getting programming, you can get amazing jobs and people. Anyway, that's fantastic. That in itself is a great story. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So then I was working. I did some odd experiments with being an entrepreneur. What really worked was in 2007.
You'd fail. How many other entrepreneurship kind of things did you fail before 2007?
Three, four, five.
Okay.
You name it.
Was it that you tried and failed?
I tried creating a website for affiliate marketing,
mm-hmm.
like posting deals and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I tried selling some of those odd products on eBay.
Uh-huh.
I tried selling some computers and stuff like that.
Okay.
It kind of worked. I didn't lose money, but Didn't get
money.
Exactly. Didn't make money.
Okay, okay. So that was for several years you're trying that on the side. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Like while I'm doing my full time job. What really sparked and worked was in 2007, I was buying a book for my wife. She wanted to go back to college and she needed a textbook. Me being frugal guy, by the way, frugal is still a core value of our, one of the core value. We are all bootstrapped, no investment yet.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Love the freedom. And so that's when, like, I mean, I kind of stumbled upon a book, believe it or not, on eBay. And it was selling for $40, 40 some odd dollars, including shipping. And at that time on Amazon, there was an option that if somebody wanted some item and it was not available, you can actually pre-buy the item before it became available. That, okay, you can decide that, okay, I'll buy this item for a particular price. And the moment someone comes and wants to sell that item under that price, the sale is done instantly. Now, Amazon doesn't have that facility. Okay, okay. 2007. So I figured the way out.
Which book were you trying to buy? A book on taxes?
Sorry. No, this was a child book, like literally a toddler book.
A toddler
no
book.
Bigger than a size of our cell phone.
Okay.
Your largest cell phone and the size of the book would be same.
Okay.
Okay, such a small book. Somebody wanted to, somebody prepaid $1,600 for that book.
Stop. $1,600 for a kid's book? Was it like a storybook?
Something. I don't know.
You don't even know what it was?
I don't know what it was. I figured out way to download that list from Amazon, all the items that people wanted to pre-buy. Okay. And wrote a program that would match with eBay. That program would tell me when something comes up for sale that people have already bought.
Oh.
Okay. And
you coded it.
Coded it. Yes. Yeah. I was a programmer. A programmer, right?
This is like dropshipper, the first dropshipper on the planet.
Yeah.
So you found the ones, you have it on eBay for one price.
Correct.
$10 and it's $1,600 on Amazon.
Yes.
Okay. So then what? You started buying them?
I started buying those items which were pre-sold. Then I stumbled upon some reading what get me a sniper. I don't know. Do you know what is eBay sniper is?
No. What's on eBay?
Oh, man, you should know. Your audience should know. At least they will have some takeaway. So on eBay, see, if there are 7-day auction.
Yeah.
If you bid today, if you start listing today, somebody come and like says, okay, I'm willing to pay $10. But somebody else wants to pay $11. But they have unlimited time in the world for somebody else to come and change their mind and pay more.
Yes.
That's how the eBay system works.
Yeah.
But the sniper, you don't reveal your bid. Like you enter your bid into sniper. And
is it a third-party software?
Third-party software. Okay. And
it bids in the last millisecond. Sorry? It bids in the last millisecond.
You got it. See, you're so smart.
Okay.
That's why you're such an amazing business. Exactly. It would not give anybody a chance to bid
outbid you.
Outbid you.
You make people cry. That's okay. That's perfect. Hey, you take it for the good price. I like it. You snipe them. Yeah. You snipe the company. Okay, good. So, okay.
So, I'm just using publicly available software.
Yes. Okay. And this is in 2007. 2007. eBay Sniper already existed.
Correct.
So, you said, okay, you find this thing in an auction.
Correct.
You set up the sniper. And then did you ship it directly to the customer from Amazon or you shipped it to your house?
Shipped it to my house.
Yeah, okay.
It's too much.
That's good. I think it's good because Amazon doesn't even allow it. So it's okay. Good. You're super clean.
Yeah. So eBay, the order came to my house. Next day, priority email sent to the buyer. All good. All settled.
So how much money did you make in your first month or your first week?
You know what? I didn't track it. I was just like, okay, I know that I'm making money on every transaction. I try to maximize my transactions. And so now I have this list of pre-sold item on Amazon trying to match on eBay. And then I wrote a second program. So now this list of pre-buy was very small. So I said, why don't I go through every item, every book item that is being sold on eBay and try to check the price on Amazon. And if I can find those items, I'll just buy it on eBay. That was my
next software. Two.
Mm-hmm. Act three is that, like, okay, all the iBooks that I have, why don't I sell it on international marketplaces?
So, like what?
So at that time, believe it or not, Amazon did exist in five different international marketplaces. Mm. It was Canada, Germany, UK, France, and Japan.
Okay.
Those were the first five international marketplaces, and we started selling on that.
And so you just would, it would be a higher price because in Japan, it's not even there. So it would be what, twice as much or something?
Yeah, exactly. I could call my own shots and, like, I can sell it at whatever price I wanted.
Wow.
And that's how we grew. And
then, you had your job. You're still doing your day job, no?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm still one of the top performer on the job. So okay, I'm not okay. Cutting them
short. No. You have to go full on your day job and full on your night and on your side hustle. I talk about that all the time.
Yes, absolutely. And that's how business grew. Then at that time, there was something called half.com.
Half, H-A-L-F?
H-A-L-F, exactly uh-huh. That, owned by eBay, used to sell only books, primarily books. At that one point, they started selling video games and all, but then it became my go-to source for any books.
Mm.
You wouldn't believe the price that were on half.com.
There was half the price. More than half. Yeah.
So, some of this natural system that existed at that time helped us grow. I did hire my team internationally. Like, we had a employee in Japan because Japan, we need translation. We had a lot of back office support from India. That's how we grew.
So you translated the title of the book in Japanese, even if the book is in English? What do you need translation for?
Like, Amazon did it for us. Okay. Amazon, like, their roots are also into book selling. So they were super good with book selling at that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
okay, so this is going, and how long do you do this? How long did this work for you? Or maybe you're still doing it, I don't know.
2010, okay. 2011, mm-hmm. Up until then it worked. And then, like, eBay shut down half.com in their own, for their own reasons. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started moving towards different products. And after that, the story.
So tell me, when half.com shut down, how did that affect your income?
It took us back by about 40% at that time.
Okay. And now you graduated from your day job? How long did it take you? How long were you doing this until you quit?
3 years. 2010 is when I went full time.
Nice, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And of course, like, so 2010 is when I went full time. Up until, and then it is a story of, our growth is a story of backward integration. So as we started losing our source of books, we started non-books, but we started buying items from distributors, consolidators, and stuff like that.
Then, and how did you find these people?
Through some trade shows. There is a website, even today it exists, called doba.com. I'm a big Doba, D-O-B-A.
Okay, Doba.
So you can kind of source lots of products from that, sell it online. So we started working with Doba.
So really, even though your income was shut by 40%, if you look back at it, it was probably the best thing that could have happened to you.
Correct, because it forced us to diversify.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I love this. I love these stories because that's what happens. Something happens to you and you think it's bad, but then it turns out that was just a door being opened. Okay, so you started basically the beginning of your business now. And what is the name of the business?
Argod. Like, I mean, we have 30 brands, 30 websites and all that. Everything is under the umbrella of Argod. E-R-G-O-D-E, Argod.
Ergod.
Yeah, Argod.
Argod. Okay.
Yeah, Argod.com is where... Like, I mean, it's not a, it's a, our corporate.
Yeah, website. it's more like a holding company, holding, right? You don't company. Market that name.
Correct,
yeah,
correct. Okay. So, I mean, so Argod stands for, so when, like in 2007, when I wanted to name the company, I literally went onto Wikipedia, found out all these Greek words, stumbled upon this Argod, as Argod.com was available. And I realized that this is a very interesting name because it's a mathematical symbol, like a plus or minus or multiplier symbol, And ergod stands for some advanced definition of integrals of integrals. Like, I mean, so think of integral and it is integral of integrals. So
I that's beyond my understanding, but that's great. It means it's very advanced. It's very advanced. It's super amazing.
It's like, think of it in our language that something...
Very important.
Yeah, a lot of people working together towards one larger purpose.
Excellent. Love that. That's a great name.
Yeah, absolutely. We love it.
Okay, so that started then. Your company started. You started to diversify. You bought from distributors and all these stuff. And then how did that go? How did that start going?
So now from distributor, think of a backward integration. We realize that there are brands which we are selling quite well, but brands don't know even that we are selling.
Mm.
So we started going back to the brands and we told them that, look, we are sourcing this from a distributor. We are already selling hundreds of thousands of dollars of your product. Why don't you give us a product directly?
Mm-hmm.
Some were super happy to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the major act two, 2014, is when we diversified and started going to the source.
Wow.
And that helped us grow quite significantly in very short period of time.
Okay, and what's an idea of the numbers? Do you remember like back then? What?
So let's say we went quickly from 10 million to over 100 million in 5 years.
Wow.
In those five.
That's unbelievable. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So that definitely helped us quite a bit. Then act three is like now we are known in brand. Some of the brands, like we are 30-40% of their online income. I mean, we are good. We are expert at doing, like, I mean, listing their products, optimizing their products at no cost. I mean, think of all these agencies. We work for completely free for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just buy the product.
We just buy the product at a wholesale price.
And they get the full agency work, and you do their supply chain, you do everything, because you just buy, you just order from them, you manage listings, you manage takedowns, you manage ads, you manage absolutely everything.
Spot on, my friend.
And are you looking for more brands? If there's a brand listening to this and they want to do it, what kind of brand would you want to work with?
Anything that is consumer sellable brand, anything that one can buy on Amazon.
Okay.
We can sell on Amazon.
Okay.
We are pretty much brand and category agnostic. We think like Amazon that any customer that can buy online, we would love to sell online.
Mm-hmm.
We can do almost cover any categories like sport, like, I mean, some of the categories, toys, sports, home goods are our favorite. But at the same time, we have done industrial, we have done jewelry, we have done some of those exotic brands also very well.
Okay.
So,
and one of the reasons, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but because you have how many employees?
600 plus.
600 employees, right?
Yes.
So you have a competitive advantage because where your mother is from, you know? Mother India.
Mother India.
And your actual mother too. Correct. So you have an ability to find people who speak very good English,
correct,
who are competent people, and the salaries are not going to be anything like they are in the United States, right?
Absolutely. Imagine there is, name one company, Fortune 500, Fortune 2000 companies, which is not present in India. I bet there is a zero of them. Why? Mm. Because, I mean, there is an amazing, enormous amount of talent pool out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you have 600 people. So when you get a brand, for you to get two brand managers or whatever, creative, all this stuff, you can get it all done.
Correct.
And it doesn't cost you so much. So you bring so much value to these brands.
To the brand. Absolutely. And they're all trained by Amazon. They're all trained by eBay, American Express.
Because you can pay them more.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, exactly. So these are former employee of Fortune 500 companies that we hire. Mm. And they are trained by Fortune 500 companies.
So tell me, if I'm thinking, I'm talking this for myself.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to become a Fortune 500 company.
Okay.
Which means I need an office in India.
Yes.
So how do I do this?
I mean, to me, India has opened up quite a bit. Ease of doing business has jumped like 80 points in last 5 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you'll find a new India. If you ever go there, I'd love to host you or anyone.
Yeah,
I'm serious. Like, and trust me, that digital advancement in India is probably 5x better than US.
Hmm. What does that mean? You mean like they know more computers than we do?
Oh, by all means, imagine that every street vendor would have a way to get an electronic payments. Like, just look at the one of those infographics mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. electronic payments around the world. Mm-hmm. And India is on the top by far.
Mm.
Okay, the number of electronic payment. The number of apps that are being developed in India. For example, you want your car washed, there is an app. If you want your milk at home, there is an app wow. for milk.
Wow.
Milk from the people who have a cows, okay? I'm not talking about this processed milk.
Yeah, yeah. No, not that garbage. The United States processed, pasteurized.
Yeah, if you want your send your package intercity from one corner of LA to another corner of another city, you have an app for that. There are thousands of apps for everything, and they're all profitable businesses.
So which app should I go to? Where do I go to hire? If I want to make an office in India, mm-hmm. how do I do it? Like, what would be my steps for me?
There are Indian specific job portals like Naukri.com.
How do you spell that?
Naukri.
Okay, Naukri. Okay.
Naukri. That is Hindi, like Indian language translation to jobs.com,
okay.
essentially.
Okay, okay.
It's a literally, Naukri is a jobs in English.
And it's an English speaking. Because the main, what are the main languages in India? Like, most people speak English?
Okay, tell me, like, let me quiz you. Which is the highest English speaking country in the world?
Is it going to be India, I guess? That's what you're asking me.
Which is the...
Because you have 1 billion population.
1.3 billion people.
Oh my gosh, it's 5 times bigger than the United States.
Correct. And many of them speak English. And which country obviously creates the highest number of newspaper, English newspaper, India. Highest number of English programs, India. Really? News channels. I mean, you have no idea how big...
I didn't have any idea.
Yeah.
It's true, I never thought about it. There's more English-speaking people in India than in the United States.
Absolutely.
By a lot.
By a lot.
Wow. And it's an official language, though, English.
Absolutely.
In India, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And so in your school, did you do more in English or more in like Hindi? Or what was your... Because you speak how many languages?
I speak about five.
Five? America, we're so behind. I only speak two. So,
that's great.
Is your primary... Like in school... Primary is English, or which is like the leading right now in schools and things like that? Do you know?
Okay, so for me, up until 10th grade, I studied in local language of India.
But which one?
Gujarati.
Okay.
But I'm an now exception. Nowadays, say 90% of kids, or at least urban kids, goes to a school from kindergarten to an English school.
Wow.
But I started studying full English from 11th grade on.
Wow.
11th, 12th, and so say junior year, senior year, and then the whole engineering, I did it in English.
Hmm. Wow, so 600 people. And do you use this website, the Gujarati?
Naukri.
Do you use that yourself for your team now?
Yes, absolutely. We do use that. LinkedIn is, of course, as prevalent in India as in US. So LinkedIn could be, there are so many.
Do you do job postings on LinkedIn?
Oh, absolutely.
And how, and specifically targeting India? Give me like a crash course. How do I hire my these people in India? Mm. I just make a job posting on LinkedIn and I sponsor it to India.
Yeah, I mean, you sponsor it in India, you place like Indian specific requirement. There are like WeWork, multiple WeWork in most of the cities if you want them to come to office or if you don't want them to work from home.
You have like a WeWork, right?
Actual WeWork.
Actual WeWork.
Yeah, and then a competition of WeWork.
Okay.
Multiple competitions.
Which one? But you have an actual office, you don't need
that. We have.
But okay, so what would you recommend for me? Use WeWork or use another one?
Use another one. Use local version.
Which one?
I can't name
it.
Name.
Okay, I'll just have to figure it out. I'll ask him.
Figure it out. Or you can ask me.
I'll ask
afterwards.
You on WhatsApp.
Yeah, I don't remember now.
Okay, so good. So my office in India, mm-hmm. I can put one or two people together, put them in like a WeWork.
Correct.
And what is the salary like over there to find a entry level and then like experienced person? What are the salaries like?
Salaries... I mean, it varies widely, but it could be... I mean, I'm talking about just a generic range.
Sure, sure.
Imagine $300 to about $5,000. I'm talking about top high-end talent. Mm-hmm, $300 mm-hmm. per month, like at a decent engineering graduate, you can get it $300 per month.
$300 a month.
Yes. And
it's very low. I mean, that's lower than even in Philippines.
It is.
Because we hire a lot in the Philippines.
Got it.
And they also speak English. But I think Indian speaks probably better English. I mean, I don't know.
I don't have experience with Philippines. But
yeah, no.
I mean,
I
300,
know.
I'm talking about...
Really entry level. Yeah. But college graduate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. College, okay. MBA graduate, for sure.
MBA graduate, $300. Okay, yeah. Now somebody with, let's say, a few years of experience, but I don't know, maybe they never even worked e-commerce. Maybe a little bit more. But, wow, that's very little.
But yeah, I mean...
But for them, that's a pretty good job. Like, they're going to go to work for you. Let's say I put a job posting for $400, $500, $600.
Yeah.
They're going to work for us because it's a better job than they can have currently. Otherwise, they would take another job, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. And see, I mean, like any people in the world, almost Indian people are also ambitious. They mm-hmm. see their career path. They want to work for a company. In fact, I mean, we treat them. I mean, what I think, we have been ranked one of the best places to work. We treat them well. In fact, wow. We have done an ESOP program. ESOP stands for Employee Stock Option okay. Plan. So everybody who works in our company has a little piece of our company.
Wow.
So they grow with us. And my wow. dream is that when we exit, we will have, for we have our employees in United States as well, in Japan as well, Ukraine as well. But
you have people in Japan?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that because they're still in Japan or just because Japan?
Just why because Japan? We need Japanese-speaking local native people.
To translate listings or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Not wow. only translate listing, but also customer service, coordination, everything.
Wow.
So, I mean, we have people Ukraine, across the world, but I mean, like everybody.
Most are India, more than half, right?
Most are India, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But they are all ambitious, well, I mean, what I call is well-intentional, behavior.
Yes. I like yourself.
Working people. Yeah,
amazing
absolutely.
People. More people
yeah,
like you.
Absolutely. Yeah, more like me, absolutely. So, I'm very, very proud of team we have built.
That's amazing.
And yeah, so, that's and amazing. My, our team goal or like our, one of my goal personally is to, people should be a millionaire in their home country just mm-hmm. through ESOP.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not wow. raise, I that's mean, beautiful. Yes, yeah, yeah. Look, I mean.
Sure, you're your top employees, they get absolutely. Some percentage. And what it, so your company now, by the way, just because I know we went to the top, but what are your revenue numbers right now? Like, what are you doing now?
So last year we crossed 150.
Woo! $150 million. Okay. You yeah. coming from India, you could not get hired. Okay. Back in 2001. Couldn't get a job. And now you've done $150 million in the last 12 months. Unbelievable.
Yes.
Are you still growing? Is it still going up?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So since then, like, I mean, since then we have started acquisition of brands.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the brands that we helped grew online. We work with over 1,500 brands.
1,500 brands?
Yes.
Absolutely. I thought you said like 30 or 60. Was that something else?
No, that is, so 1,500 brands is for whom we resell the product.
Resell.
So
Reselling.
We are not the owner. Yeah, yeah. We just.
1,500. And you take them, they have to have already revenue where, like, any brand? They just started brand, a brand? Yeah. You just list them.
Absolutely. And we do it for free. I mean, people pay agency hundreds or thousands of dollars just in retention fee.
Hold on. I'm just trying to get my head yeah. around this because I haven't worked with your company.
Absolutely.
Right? So let's say I'm a guy. I'm an yeah. inventor. Okay? Because sometimes I talk to these inventors.
Correct.
They don't know what to do this and they have a production. They have a product. They don't know what to do. And they have zero sales.
Zero
but they
sales.
Have an idea. If they come to you, you'll make a listing for them and put them on Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. They just have to have a what? Product. Yeah, absolutely. We list them. We list them.
You start like with what? I'll buy 10 units or something or buy whatever. Like, what would be a first order if someone, I have no sales.
Correct.
So I want to be on Amazon. So then how much do you buy or what do you do?
So depending on the product, average, we have an internal software that kind of tells, it's a like AI driven software oh that gosh. Tells that, okay, this is the product that, like, what is the quantity we should be buying? And
I feel so behind.
Oh, no.
I feel like, what am I doing in my life?
No.
So I feel like this is such an opportunity because people, normally they have a problem. If they're a product person, they don't know, they have an opportunity with you.
Absolutely.
And they'll have their own team in India.
Absolutely.
This is amazing.
And
so wow. I'm going to send you people.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to send you people. Like, I feel like this is... I'm shocked, actually. So, okay. So, you put a brand. Because you were talking about acquisitions. Let's say someone had a brand of whatever, wallets. They invented wallets. And you buy 10 wallets. And you're going to try it. You put a listing up. Because you have an amazing team. 600 people. Mm-hmm. They make the listing. And you see it starting to sell. It's starting selling 10 units a day, 20 units a day. Now you say, why don't I just buy them?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And then how does that work?
Yeah, so, and just in the use case that you said, we have already made a lot of products successful online.
Mm-hmm.
But our most important use case or the our ideal customer is a people who have started brand before 2010, before kind of arrival of digital age, so to speak.
Yes, okay, right. Of course, yeah. Inventor is a very small use case. Correct. They're not even gonna know how to find you because they're not even a brand. But of course, someone who already had, they sell these lamps.
Correct.
We have this hotel, they've been making lamps since the year 1990.
Exactly.
And they have a lot of sales in retail, they don't sell anything online, and the founder is 70 years old and he doesn't know how to open up a computer and whatever.
That's perfect. That's exactly who our ideal partners are.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who is exactly what you described, right? Mm-hmm. That they are selling very well. And then there are a lot of people who have gone with our competition or who tells everybody that, yeah, you can sell my products, every average seller, and they ruin their brand online.
Mm.
Okay, so we are we have fixed so many brands. We have taken a business from competition. We have quadrupled some of the businesses in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we do it all only by buying their products, not even charging them a penny.
Wow.
So we do that all the time. And then at one point, if owners wants to retire, exit, whatever they want to do, we are open to buying them out complete business. So depending
and
on...
And do they come to you, or you kind of just approach, you say, hey, what are you thinking about the future? And correct. See if they say it, or what's your approach on this?
So it's a kind of two-way street for us.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea, the first brand that we bought is called Red Cup Living. We used to retail for
Red
them.
Cup.
Red Cup Living.
Like beer cups?
Spot on, man.
Okay.
Those beer reusable cups.
Yeah.
Great inventor. He's now, that inventor founder, Michael Romley, my friend. He sort of, we bought these cups, beautiful cups.
Yeah.
You can check on redcupliving.com.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has 15 patents, believe it or not.
What?
United States patent for that Red Cup beer cups.
Wow.
Okay? So he created this great brand. We bought it. And then what? Then what we did was we used those Red Cups.
You were already representing them online.
We were representing them online.
Yep.
We bought the brand and we used those Red Cup or set of, so it has a set of SKUs. We created a nice gift pack out of it and we sent it to all 1,500 vendors that we work with.
Ah.
Just as a thank you Christmas gift.
Yeah.
No other intention.
Uh-huh.
And some of them reached out, hey, I did not know you were buying the brands. Why don't we talk about it? That was not our intention. It worked out well. So that's
you have a good heart. Good things happen to you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Happened. Yes.
That's the story of your life.
Fortunately, we have been working with some of the very good vendors. See, to me, most people, 90% plus, are super well intentioned. They
mm-hmm.
want to do good for themselves and want to do good for others. And we have found those fortunately good people in our vendor side
mm-hmm.
as well as on our team side. Of course, we pay some of the top dollars, not 300 is just a starting entry level. Then we pay all the way up to $6,000-$8,000 per month.
Yeah, of course. What does somebody pay, for example? Maybe you don't know this, maybe you do, but someone from, if they're in India, they're working, I don't know, a Samsung or an Amazon or this. They might be making what, $1,000, $2,000 or something like that? Or it could be higher, no?
Could be higher. 2,000, let me convert. That seems like a typical
corporate range, thing.
Corporate compensation.
Okay.
2000 and higher.
Okay.
And yeah, we pick them, we hire them, give them, I mean, give them ESOP, give them a better position, lot more exposure than what they would get in that little niche they are working on. We have a great environment, collaboration, opportunity to travel world. So many people, so many one of us have a US visa to come and visit trade shows and visit like, so we offer them
something more experience, right? Because they don't want to just be at a desk.
Exactly.
Come to the US, meet with the vendors, meet with the staff, come to the United States. Correct. They maybe have never left the country.
Absolutely.
Why okay. not? And so, and tell me about the job postings, because I'm very serious about hiring now in India. I'm like so excited about it.
Absolutely.
Do you put the pay in the job description?
We do not.
You do not. You put, this is the job, come and apply, and then you interview and you find out. Yeah, because of course it's the culture. I don't know how it is there.
Correct. See, more than a culture, look, I mean, putting, I mean, to me, it's not about, I mean, it's about attracting the whole range of applicant. Because to me, a true professional is driven by passion, not by compensation. Passion drives compensation, then vice versa. So if I, like, you know, I mean, I can hire someone, I mean, no, someone maybe a 20-year-old, maybe at just a starting salary of $500 a month. But we have so much opportunity that I would not be surprised
if that person outperforms. That person
outperforms everybody else and commands $1,500 next year, like 3x growth, right? I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not? Absolutely. Why not? So how do you identify that? Like, who in your team identifies, okay, this person's, their salary should be double or triple, or like, how do you do this, the pay structure? How do you decide that, and who does it?
So we have a competent recruiting and HR team, and they usually do it. We typically we go by their previous compensation.
To start with,
like what have been they getting, and if they're fresh out of college, then we have certain standards. If they've already been working, we understand what their current compensation is. But and then we structure the next compensation. That is the one factor. Then we consider position, the promise, everything else, and that's when what we offer.
So when they're starting, you give them a way to get to double, or you, that happens later. So for example, they're making 500 now. You say, okay, you can come over. We're going to pay you 600. That's an idea, something like that. But at that point, you say, good, we think you can get to 1,000 next year if you do this and this and this and this. And you tell them right the first day or before the first day in the interview, something like that.
So it depends on which positions we are hiring for. See, some of the, like, I mean, we have acquired 13 brands so far. We have acquired 13 companies. So if I have a brand manager, the path to growth is very clear. Sometimes if, I mean, imagine.
Yeah, someone's doing shipments.
Shipments, exactly.
Okay, well, you, there's not much to go there. Correct, you have to get promoted before it happens. So yeah, for brand managers, if the company, you could maybe get a percentage of something of the brand or profit share, I don't know.
Some, yeah, we have a incentive, like, I mean, we have a performance-based incentive in place.
And is it kind of the same for that position, brand manager across? Like, do you, what I'm trying to think is, because let's see me, I want to do it for my people. Make a brand manager or a category manager, whatever. Are you doing, hey, a percentage of the raise, or do you structure it overall and then you offer it to each of the brand managers, or you kind of work it with that one person?
See, it's a all customized plan.
Yeah, okay.
Because the brands that we acquire, they're not, two brands are not alike.
Yes.
So depending on where we want to grow, say for example, if I acquire a brand, I mean, one of the brand we have acquired called US Tech, for example, they are into 3,000 Walmart stores. Okay, their SKUs are physically present in 3,000 plus Walmart stores. But there hardly any online presence.
So it has a big potential.
Big potential, right? So now our compensation structure for that US Tech brand manager is how well they do with the D2C aspect of it. Okay, on the other end, there is a brand that, say, like, is evenly split between B2B and B2C, then I want to compensate them on both sides of it.
Right. Okay.
In a way.
Yeah, so you customize. I like that. That's good. Okay, excellent. I mean, this is spectacular. I love hearing. I mean, I could sit here all day and just ask you questions.
Absolutely.
What is the thing? And again, I mean, you went over it. You can code. You did crazy things. You found opportunity. You hired people. You kept your values. All those things. But like, what makes you so different than all the competition, all the entrepreneurs, all the people trying to make it in life, and they maybe either don't, or they just make 1/10 of what you're doing, or like maybe half of what you're doing, like me. Like what sets you apart? You know, what is the thing that has brought you forward all these years?
I would say a passion, mm-hmm. persistence, and a little, the right word is not compensation, compassion.
Compassion. Feeling, understanding what other people feel.
When I say passion, see, whenever I'm working, actually it's my zen place. Like I could be tired,
yes.
upset for many other reasons. Okay, I'm human. I get tired or upset. Yeah. And I come to work to relax.
Wow. Okay? I love that. I love that. That's amazing.
I love that. Also, I still have that passion.
Yes.
Persistence, right? I mean, sometimes, like, I mean, my favorite saying is no means not now.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So sometimes you've got to be persistent. I mean, you just can't give up. And
no means not now.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I love that. I love that saying. No means not now. Fabulous. Okay. Okay. Good.
And then, like, compassion, right? You can probably pronounce better. See, like, I mean, I feel that of everything we do, our team or our people are the company's truest assets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can lose everything, but not my star performer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. Because they've stood by us, they've been with us, and like I value who they are. I mean, we work together, we have formed a great team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what makes us unique. I mean,
wow.
People do feel their path to next level of success working together, and
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do, like, I mean, I do my best to take care of some of the bestest we have, and that's, I think, makes us unique. I mean,
that's wonderful.
We all want to be successful. I mean, we think this is a truly team sport. It's not an individual event.
That's right. That's amazing. Okay, Rupesh, I really, really appreciate you coming on here. And can you tell people if they want to listen to you more, they want to learn from you more, or I don't know, how does someone contact you, or how do they find you?
Great. Argo.com is a place to go, and mm-hmm. I'm LinkedIn.
Yes.
I accept all the incoming requests until LinkedIn stops me from doing that. So LinkedIn is a way to go. Anybody who asked me my personal phone number, I'd be happy to give it to them. I, at any given point of time, I mentor anywhere between 3 to 6 entrepreneur. I mean, depending on their need and my time. So I'd be happy to help anyone out in any form of fashion.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
You are just a kind, amazing person. So
thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, boss.